Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Abraham Hamilton III is my name, and I'm the host of the program here with J-Tross, Jeff Reed. I call him J-Squared. Thank you for joining us today. You can listen to us live on your radio dial, the terrestrial radio state, right radio dial, if you know what that is. You can listen to us live at AFR.net or UrbanFamilyTalk.com online. You can also listen and watch through the Facebook live stream and the YouTube channel. We have a Hamilton Corner YouTube channel. Jeff has got us all hooked up, where if you have one of those fancy-dancy Google Home things or Alexa, you can walk in your house and say, bam, Alexa, play the Hamilton Corner. And guess what you'll see?
You know what? I think people's Alexas just clicked on when you said that, because a lot of people are listening to the program using that. Probably messed them all up.
Yeah, so your Google Home or whatever those things. And you know, I'm not a fan of the Google. If y'all know me, you listen to my program, you know I don't like to use the Google web search engine, but I know a lot of people do.
And we are now being carried on a Roku channel, and we're going to get some more information on that. We're just trying to work out a few little bugs, but we're coming at you all different.
Praise God. Well, you can run, but you can't hide. I feel like somebody referred to me as Steve Urkel and Stefan Urkel the other day. You can't hide. Well, we are in the throes of a campaign that we do annually, where American Family Radio joins hands with a ministry called India Partners. India Partners. Boys and girls as young as 8 years old are being trafficked and sold into the red light areas of Mumbai, India. If you're familiar with the red light district and the red light areas of Mumbai, India, you know that it's a haven for prostitution and illicit sexual activity and the dark things that accompany those things. Well, this Christian ministry is right in the middle of Mumbai, rescuing little boys and little girls from being trafficked in that area. What often occurs when you already have people who are working, you know, as sex workers, they get pregnant and have children. And many of the children of the older sex workers, notice I didn't say adult, because oftentimes they become mothers as soon as their reproductive capacity develops. Y'all know what I'm saying. And so they end up having young children, and that cycle just repeats itself. Well, India Partners is right there on the ground in Mumbai rescuing children. The campaign we had with India Partners last year was so successful, we were able to build a larger, brand new safe house for girls. And now, with the gracious contributions that we're able to generate through this program and the other fundraising efforts, you could be a part of building a new safe house for boys. And now some of you are saying, boys, what is boys are trafficked for sex? Yes, they are little boys. They have practices in places like Afghanistan and other places where you have men who look and seek out little boys. This is the truth. All right, it's ugly, but it's the truth. And many times, most of us, we can't, you know, board a plane and head over to India, but we can use the resources and things that God has blessed us with to come alongside people who are there on the ground and help them. And by joining together, we become a continual chain of God's faithfulness for these people. Here at American Family Radio, we do our best in doing diligence and making sure we're not only partnering with people with good intentions, we desire to partner with people who are gospel-centered, who will share the gospel in addition to ministering to the physical and felt needs of the individuals. So $7.08 can provide one full day of safety, rescue, and care for a child escaping the red light areas of Mumbai. $50 provides about a week's worth of safety. $212 provides about a month, and this is all for one child, provides about a month worth of safety, and $640 provides about 3 months worth of safety. $2,560 provides about a year of safety, rescue, and care. And so we are presenting this to you because we know many of our faithful supporters, our faithful listeners, love to join in ministry efforts like this. There are little boys and little girls who are being rescued every day, every day. And so they need a place to go once they are rescued. And your gifts will help us accomplish that goal. So if you want to participate, you can give by calling this phone number. It's 877-616-2396. That number again is 877-616-2396. Or you can give online at afr.net or at urbanfamilytalk.com. You can give right there online safely and securely should you choose to do so. If you're using the phone number to call in, please have your credit card information available and ready to roll. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus and serve the little children who are being trafficked for sex in India. You can be a part of it. Call 877-616-2396 or go to afr.net or urbanfamilytalk.com and give safely right there online. Well, we're going to begin the program today in Luke chapter 19. And this is just, it's been stirring in my heart, and I wanted to share it with you. I'll read through it. I know it's not as long time as I'm used to having, but this, I believe, is critically important. I think it will aid us in pursuing, or should I say, the unfolding of the remainder of the program. Starting in verse 1 in Luke chapter 19, it says this. He, meaning Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. He was a short fellow. All right. Verse 4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. That is, Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they being the crowd, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. A couple points I want to make. First, here we go. Zacchaeus served as a tax collector. This was an occupation that was scorned heavily within the Jewish community. Why? Because you have a Jewish man who was serving as the instrument for fiscal oppression, if you will, for the Jewish citizenry that were underneath the auspices of the Roman Empire. Wait, the way it would work is that the Roman Empire would set a Jew over the taxation system, kind of like the local branch of the IRS, if you will, and collect taxes on behalf of the Roman government. Well, here you have Zacchaeus knowing what the Roman government expected him to collect, and tax collectors, which is part of the reason why Matthew was scorned so heavily, because he too was a tax collector when Jesus called him. The tax collectors knew what Rome expected to have. And so Rome would turn a blind eye if their tax collectors kind of wet their own beak in the process. If Jeff has to pay, you know, $100 in taxes for the year, well, if I'm the tax collector, Zacchaeus, well, I'm going to just charge Jeff $115. And I'll take that extra $15 and put in Zacchaeus' pocket. And J. Trost, $200 due from him? Well, let me charge him $225, and I'm going to put that $25 in my own pocket. And this is what the tax collectors did. And the Romans knew it, but they didn't care long as they got their money. All right. So here you have in the previous verses in the Gospel of Luke, they record many of Jesus's miracles. And so the story of Jesus intrigued Zacchaeus, intrigued him. When Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming his way, he tried to press through the crowd to get to see him because, man, I have to see this Jesus. I wonder if what I've heard about this Jesus could be true. But Zacchaeus, unable to push through the crowd because of his short stature. And, you know, I'm from New Orleans. I grew up in a culture where they have parades all the time. I have a mental picture of that because I can remember being a little kid around these types of things and can't get to the crowd. So what often happened when, you know, the parade is coming, you would get a little a ladder and get something to sit on, and you would put it down the street knowing that the parade had to come your way. And so this is what Zacchaeus did. He calculated, Jesus is coming down this road. I'm going to see, oh, there's a sycamore tree I can climb into. And then climbing up into the tree, my short stature won't prohibit me from seeing Jesus. But little to Zacchaeus' awareness, he was looking for Jesus. But he didn't know Jesus was already looking for him. Notice when Jesus finally passed by the place where Zacchaeus was. In verse 5, it says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, who was the one that started the conversation? Jesus. It wasn't Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thought he needed to hustle to see Jesus, not knowing Jesus already was looking for him. Right off the bat, I want to tell you, a tax collector was considered some of the lowest of the low amongst the Jews because they kind of felt like, the Jews I'm talking about, felt like, man, he's a turncoat. He's willing to impress his own people for his own well-being in exchange for the Romans, considered the lowest of the low. And what I'm telling you, I don't care what your background is, what you may have been involved in, and the things that you may feel like are hindering you from seeing Jesus. Just when you think that you have to employ all of your effort to find him, I am telling you, Jesus is looking for you. And just like Zacchaeus, Jesus wants to call you by name. It wasn't Zacchaeus who introduced the conversation with the Christ. It is the Lord, knowing where Zacchaeus was, passing by and looks up and says, Zacchaeus. He turns and calls out Zacchaeus and tells him, hurry and come down. Get on down with the get down. Because not only am I coming to see you, I have to stay in your house. See, the beauty of our Lord is he doesn't want to come to grant us visitations. He wants to inhabit us. The Lord doesn't only want to grant us fire insurance. He wants to invite us to the blessed privilege of knowing him as Lord. I have to stay in your house. Let me go further. So Zacchaeus hurries and comes down and receives the Lord joyfully, which gives you the indication Zacchaeus was earnestly looking for the Lord. And now having the thing that he sought becoming realized, he has no response but to rejoice. At saying, Jesus is calling me? You mean out of all the people from the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, you would call me? That's how I feel. You would call me? And the answer to that is yes. And in spite of the crowds, Zacchaeus' immediate response is, Lord, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, I'll restore it fourfold. Cross-reference that with Exodus chapter 22, verse 1. That fourfold repayment was the penalty that was due for a person who stole sheep. So Zacchaeus was acknowledging the fact that he had stolen because he invited upon himself the biblical sentence for theft, the fourfold repayment. Exodus 22:1. I will pay for every one that I've stolen. I'll pay back four times. Why is that important? Because when there is true repentance in the heart, there will always be evidence of repentance externally. Repentance is something that occurs internally. The changed lifestyle is the fruit or the manifestation of that repentance. You cannot say you have come to Christ and submitted yourself to him if there is no evidence of repentance. The gospel of Jesus Christ requires there to be the presentation of the grace of Jesus combined with the reality of the necessity of repentance. There is evidence when we have submitted our lives to Jesus Christ. And you have Zacchaeus acknowledging that right off the bat. And Jesus, knowing what's going on with the crowds, Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. Since he is also a son of Abraham. This is the same Jesus who responded that sons of Abraham are not only those who have the descendancy of a genealogical line. There is not a natural bloodline that qualifies you as a genuine son of Abraham, but it is those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says it not merely for Zacchaeus' benefit, but he says it for the benefit of the audience, which is for you. If you were the one who thought there was something that could keep you from the Lord is the one looking for you to call you by name. And just in the event that the naysayers would grumble, say, well, how could this person think they could be saved? Jesus stands up and says, I got you, homie. You don't have to speak for yourself. I'll declare that salvation has entered your house. I will be the one. It's kind of like 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So you have no need to vindicate yourself because you have the one who placed over you the blood cloak and has absorbed your sinfulness.
New administration standards protect religious freedom. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Well, it's good news that the Department of Health and Human Services is making some great changes. It clarified exemptions for hospital employees who don't want to commit procedures they feel are wrong and damaging. This includes abortion, assisted suicide, or sex change operations. It also is establishing an arm to ensure religious liberties are protected. These types of protections are found in both our Constitution and 25 federal laws. However, under the previous administration, HHS had not enforced these laws. Finally, the HHS restored the state's control over funding decisions for healthcare providers. Specifically, this means if an abortion provider has broken the law, states can redirect Medicaid money to other healthcare providers. Already 15 states have laws that discourage giving money to Planned Parenthood or other abortion providers. Learn more at lc.org.
American Family Radio and Preborn are partnering to help save babies' lives throughout America.
Well, my name is Dan Steiner, and I'm the president of Preborn. Ultrasound truly is a game changer. When a mom comes into a pregnancy center under pressure to abort her child, perhaps the dad's gone, perhaps her mother is pressuring her. Most of the time in her heart, she doesn't want to abort, but what she needs is something that will give her the strength to choose life against the pressures forcing her to consider abortion. That's the ultrasound. If she hears her baby's heartbeat and sees that baby on ultrasound, 80% of the time she'll choose life.
Be a compassionate answer to abortion and help save a baby's life. Go to preborn.com now. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations."
This is Bert Harper. Join me for Exploring Missions, revealing the hearts of missionaries, their stories, and lives. Across the world or across town, Exploring Missions, Saturday evenings at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoons at 1 on American Family Radio.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio. Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I have to dig into something that I see as an issue that we will have to contend with more frequently going forward. It's something I've been sitting on for a little while, but then I was contacted by a young man, an 18-year-old listener to the program. I'm always encouraged to know that we have a full range of people, whatever age category, it's no limit. Everybody is welcome in the corner, and I get messages from people that cross the spectrum. Anybody that you would think would never listen to this program, they're listening to it. I'm telling you, because they send me messages. And this young man said, "Well, Abe, have you seen this Prager University video with Guy Benson, where he is talking about being a gay, patriotic, small government conservative and being a Christian? How should we navigate this?" And I've been just sitting on it, chewing on it before I even got the message from the young man saying, "Lord, how would you want me to deal with this? When would you want me to deal with this?" And so when I got that message, I knew that it was something that the Lord wanted me to address for the program, because in every generation, I'll say it this way, in every generation of the body of Christ, there are those who will attempt to snare her. And so my prayer for this particular program is that it will enable all of us to be equipped, to be aware of the attempt to snare the bride, but also to know how to respond appropriately. And very simply, to start off the conversation, you will never go wrong when you hold the word of God above everything else. You will never go wrong in that. So Without further ado, I'm going to play this, play some audio to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. But this will be Guy Benson sharing a video, a PragerU video. And Guy Benson is a 32-year-old kind of up-and-comer amongst the ranks of the GOP. He is the political editor for townhall.com, and he's a frequent guest on Fox News and other television shows. And so there's this movement that is kind of reverberating underground, so to speak, to a degree, but really not underground now. They got the guy on television, where they're attempting to conflate sexual deviancy with Christianity and just present it as another alternative. And what I want to hit is the distinction, and I should say the priority that Christ must have even above our political leanings and our political inclination. But I want to play this so you can hear exactly what I'm talking about, and we'll dig into it a little bit and turn to the Word of God. If you would, Jay, please play clip number two.
I'm a Christian, a patriotic American, and a free market, shrink the government conservative who also happens to be gay. What I mean by that is my values define me, while my sexual orientation sometimes feels more like, well, a footnote. Literally, in fact. I came out as gay in a footnote in my book, End of Discussion. When it comes to my political beliefs, my orientation is only one part of the story. It's not the totality of who I am. Some unimaginative leftists like to claim that this qualifies me as a self-hating gay person. This is so boring. That intellectual laziness only underscores my point. Far too often, people are sorted by their gender, or their skin color, or their sexual orientation, or any other immutable characteristic that has nothing to do with ideas or values.
Now, I want to make sure you heard that very clearly. You have Guy Benson, who is attempting to make this argument that, you know, he's a homosexual, although he didn't use that word, but I'm using it. He's a homosexual. He's a patriotic American, free market, shrink the government conservative, who also, I'm sorry, he said he was a Christian. That was the first thing he said. He's a Christian, patriotic American, and free market, shrink the government conservative, who also happens to be a homosexual. He went on to explain that his sexual orientation is more like a footnote. All right, and that's the way he treats it. But it's interesting to note, and I'm going to unpack this more, but what did he lead with as an identification? And you have to ask yourself, why did he lead with that? He led with his identifying himself as a Christian. Why is that? Because I know that Guy Benson knows that among all the other identifiers, the one that most people would have an objection to was his reference to himself as a Christian. But before I get too far ahead of myself, I want you to know, to hear clearly what he lays out. And so I want to play clip three for you. And this is a short one, about 28 seconds. Play clip three, please, Jason.
To be candid, in my day-to-day life and work, I spend a lot more time thinking and writing about the failures of Obamacare, for example, than I do about LGBT issues, whatever that term might mean on any given day. Just like any conservative, I want taxes low, the military strong, and don't even get me started on single-payer health care or late-term abortion. I'm a conservative because when I think about these issues critically, I usually end up on the right end of the spectrum. It's that simple.
It's that simple. So why is he setting it up this way? Hey, I want, like any other conservative, I want my taxes low, I want the military strong, and don't even get me started on single-payer health care, on abortion. Why would he say these things? Because he's ticking off the traditional, well-known conservative political issues. He's attempting to warm your heart by saying, hey, I'm a conservative just like you. Just like I'm a Christian, just like you. See me, see you, same, same. See, he's attempting to invite you into the warmth of the Guy Benson nest so that you can relax your defenses and be more inclined to find him to be a brother. Not just a fellow political conservative, but a brother. Now, why am I bringing this to your attention? I'm going to just tell you right out of the gate because I smell a rat. And the rat isn't Guy Benson personally. I don't know him. Never met him. But the rat is the spirit of the age that seeks to make its way into the bride of Christ and to peel people away to embrace ungodly and anti-biblical ideologies. So let's start at the beginning, right? He identifies himself first. He leads with, I'm a Christian. Because Guy Benson leads with identifying himself as a Christian, then I then have the legal authority under the word of God to evaluate his claims according to the word of God. He also used what I would consider a pretty common intellectual condescension towards regressives. I mean, let's just be honest. It's you got to have some type of intellectual deficiency to maintain to be a regressive, right? I mean, the state of California, with all of its resources and population, has the highest the largest amount of poverty in the whole country, according to state analysis. Now, how is that possible? Regressive policies. So that is true. But again, he's attempting to invite you in to the place where you would agree when I'm saying that, well, yeah, leftists are unimaginative. And then refers to them as being intellectually lazy for automatically assuming because he's a homosexual, he should be a liberal, right? And then he goes on to do one of the most offensive things in this whole phenomenon to me. It's to refer to this, what he says, quote, far too often people are sorted by their gender, their skin color, by their sexual orientation, or by any other immutable characteristic. Hold on now, little gay. Hold up, little guy. I'm sorry. Hold on, little guy. Because when you say their gender, I prefer to say sex. If you look back into the legal documents in the 60s and 70s, you refer to as sex. Whenever the civil rights amendments that allow Title IX into our schools, we refer to women by sex, males by sex, not gender. Why is that? It's easier to bend if we talk gender because gender is a subjective mental construct as opposed to being something that must match a biological reality. Put that aside for a moment. Sorted by their gender, okay. Sorted by their skin color, in case you don't know that I happen to be melanated, sun-kissed by the Lord with ebony. Glory to God. Brothers and sisters, that ain't changing no matter what goes on. I can bake it, take it, or quake it, but it ain't gonna shake it. It ain't changing. But then he says, or sexual orientation, or by any other immutable characteristic. Again, Guy Benson announced himself as a Christian. So let me evaluate what Guy said by the word of God. Since Guy is suggesting that his sexual orientation, which is one that defies the scripture, denies the created order of the Imago Dei, as reflected in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, quoted by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 19, Guy is making an assertion that is contrary to what the word of God says. And I'll read it for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is just one example. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church when he says this. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, the Greek word there is porneia, which includes heterosexual violations of God's standards for human sexuality. Let's get this clear, right? Because the rebukes from the scripture are not only in one direction. The Lord just doesn't just lay out a line of evaluation for homosexual violations of his standards for human sexuality. The Lord also includes heterosexual violations of his standards, fornication and adultery. Pornography consumption and the like are all included amongst those who will not inherit the kingdom of God when they are your habitual lifestyle that you live in unrepentance and in open rebellion with, right? Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let's go further. Read verse 11, because that was verses 9 and 10. Look what verse 11 says. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of God. Of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So, Mr. Guy Benson, I have several bones of contention to pick with you. First and foremost, you asserted that a homosexual orientation is an immutable characteristic. Well, my brother, the Word of God tells me, and I know far too many people who have been delivered from homosexual lifestyles for me to accept what you're saying as being true. the Apostle Paul acknowledged that the Corinthian church included among its ranks those who were given to heterosexual violations of God's standards through fornication, those who were formerly adulterers, those who were formerly thieves, and those who were formerly homosexual. So your assertion that it is an immutable characteristic is not factually, statistically, nor biblically correct. And I'll go further, Mr. Benson, because based on the word of God, you cannot be a practicing homosexual Christian. Those are oxymorons, no more than you can be an adulterer Christian, or a fornicating Christian, or a thieving Christian. Now, this does not mean that you cannot be a Christian and one who is struggling with same-sex attraction. It does not mean you can't be a Christian who is overcoming a past sinful proclivity. But I will tell you, Mr. Benson, you cannot be a Christian and then strap yourself with a label right next to your Christianity with the sin proclivity that the Bible says such were some of you. Can't do it. Can't do it. And I'm sharing this to empower this audience to know that we don't have to soft pedal sins of the sexual variety. We treat it the same way we treat any other sins. Can you be a thieving Christian? No. You cannot live a habitually sinful lifestyle in open rebellion against the Lord, yet claim to be in his fold. Cannot be done. And the reason why I'm presenting this so passionately, because I know that there are many young people that are being wrapped in by this, because you have this PragerU video when you have Guy Benson, who, you know, is well put together and very slick and very chic. And of course, we've had lots of PragerU videos that have been very helpful. And I will tell you, they have been helpful to me. Many PragerU videos. But Mr. Dennis Prager, and Mr. Guy Benson, I raise an objection here, because I don't care how much we may align ourselves politically, I will not allow our political agreements about Obamacare and about military readiness and about, you know, taxes and things of that nature to cause me to create my own amendment to scripture. You see, this is one of the examples where the body of Christ will have to contend for the faith. You see, because this is more important than R's and D's. You hear what I'm telling you? And I know the temptation will be, but yeah, man, hey, can't we just go along and get along? Because we got these votes we got to get. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. And I was talking to the young man. I'm saying, listen, you don't have to automatically throw all Dennis Prager's videos into the trash because of this one video. But now that you have seen it, your senses should be tuned. You should be made aware. Dennis Prager is not Jesus. Dennis Prager has done some wonderful things for conservatism politically, but Dennis Prager is not Jesus. And so I can align myself with Guy Benson in opposing Obamacare and single-payer health care and his opposition to abortion. But where he runs afoul of the word of God, that's where I draw the line. You see, having Christ and his word as chief makes it easy for me to celebrate President Trump's accomplishments and policy while at the same time denouncing his vulgar talk. When the Bible talks to us about not having crude speech, I don't have to choose either or. I can walk and chew gum at the same time. And the tension that exists sometimes is because we don't want to, well, you know, they're on our team. Listen, you want to know who my team is? Team Jesus. Jesus over everything. I engage politically for one person only, to keep the door open for the gospel. Because I recognize that public policy and government can erect an impediment to the spread of the gospel. So as a citizen of the kingdom of God first, and then as a citizen of these United States of America, very similar to Apostle Paul, I invoke my American citizenship so that the gospel can have room to flourish. You see, we are duty bound, and I'm gonna play one more clip from Guy Benson on the way when we come back in to show how he tries to put this all together in a neat package. And if we are unaware, if we are asleep at the wheel, there will be Mickey slipped in on us spiritually and we don't even recognize it. So I'm sharing this with you so that you can be aware, because if it wasn't for people like Tony Perkins and others at the RNC convention, there would have been an adjustment made to the GOP platform that would have begun to embrace sexual deviancy. But it was because there are people that were there. They know that not all Republicans are Christians. And so they held the line.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
When it comes to the issue of trafficking, it's not just girls that we're talking about. Truth is that even boys are at risk.
Oh my God. We'd be on the bed doing the wrong things.
In Mumbai, India, in the red light districts, there are young men like Najish.
I rolled over several times and broke many bones. This scar here on my forehead, this scar is from that night.
It happens every day, and it must stop, and it can. That is why American Family Radio and India Partners are teaming up to provide a safe house outside the city where young boys are rescued. With your gift of just $7.08, you provide a day of safety and shelter at a new India Partners safe house. Coming up here on American Family Radio, we're going to show you how your gifts can rescue a boy and make this new safe house a reality. Learn more at AFR.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Two Indiana men are dead, and the killer is a suspected drunk driver who was in the country illegally. Jeffrey Monroe was an Uber driver. Indianapolis Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson was his passenger. Mr. Monroe had pulled off the road to assist Mr. Jackson, who had become sick. That's when police say Manuel Zavala slammed into the men on Interstate 70. Police say Mr. Zavala had been deported twice before. American blood shed on American soil by an illegal alien invader, allegedly. President Trump called the deaths a disgraceful tragedy. And yet our lawmakers do nothing except defend the invaders. They politic and pontificate and preach about our moral obligation. Well, what about the moral obligation to protect American lives? I don't know about you, but I'm disgusted, absolutely disgusted. How many more Americans must die at the hands of the illegal aliens? I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. We will open the phone lines, but I want to make a couple more comments before we get there, because there's this thing to where our culture wants to treat sins of the sexual nature as if they're different from anything else. And, you know, I've heard pastors, and some of you may have heard me say this before, but, you know, you have people saying, well, you know, church, I got to preach this sermon. You know, I don't want to offend anybody, you know, and I just want to let you guys know that, you know, I have friends who are thieves. You know, I hang out with thieves all the time. I let thieves in my house. So I don't want you guys to think I hate thieves, but I just have to tell you that, just unfortunately, the Bible says that thievery is a sin. So, you know, guys, it's just what the Bible says, you know. Or they're wringing their hands. Well, guys, listen, I got to, you know, talk to you guys a little bit. I just want you to know I don't hate any adulterers. I love all adulterers. I have friends who are adulterers, you know, but I got to talk about this adultery. We don't do that with any other sin. Why do we do that with this particular sin? Because it is a hot button issue of the culture, right? But just because it's a hot button issue of the culture doesn't mean we have to adjust our metrics based on the culture. We stand on the word. And we have the confidence and the boldness to say, listen, just like Paul laid out in 1 Corinthians 6, man, sin isn't limited to homosexual iterations of violation of God's standard for human sexuality. Fornicators, adulterers, thieves, and then you add this in. Such were some of us. The reason why I can talk with such authority, because I know what it's like to be delivered. We don't have to create a special nouveau niche for it, but I'm sharing this with you guys Because I'm telling you, there's a snake in the garden. There's a snake in the garden. In the PragerU video, Guy Benson refers to some of the contingents of voters who happen to be homosexuals as an increasing number. I'm telling you, in Washington, D.C., I go there quite frequently. When you have local meetings of Republican organizations in D.C., much of them are populated by homosexuals. I'm telling you what I know. And so I am presenting this because you can expect it to be an issue with which we will have to contend going forward. I'm just laying it out there for you. So I want to play this one last clip from Guy Benson because he tries to put a button on his presentation that is deceptive. Not because of everything that he says in it is deceptive, but his main point. The main point of his communication was homosexuality and Christianity and conservatism, they all go together one big pot, one big hodgepodge of a stew. When I'm saying objection, my friend, objection. There is no way you can live in open, unrepentant rebellion against the lover of our souls and claim to be a Christian. Can't do it. No more than a person can live in open, unrepentant adultery and claim to be a Christian. I want to play clip number 4 to show you Guy Benson's summary. Then we'll get to the phone lines.
Like I said, I'm a Christian, a patriotic American, and a free market, shrink the government conservative who happens to be gay. That's how I choose to rank my priorities. You know what that's called? It's called progress. I'm Guy Benson for Prager University.
No, Mr. Benson, that's not called progress. That's called sin put in a 32-year-old millennial package and being used to try to persuade and, if not, deceive the masses. And I'm telling you guys that there are people that are in, you know, the upper echelons of the Republican Party, that they're big fans of Guy Benson's and others that are like him. Because he may be one of the ones at the tip of the spear, but there are more coming behind him. And they are attempting to conflate all these issues, which is why we cannot afford to take the word of God and to take our commitment to Christ off of the throne. All these other things are secondary and tertiary issues. But Jesus is supreme. Jesus is the lover of our souls. His word is our standard. And I'll say it like my good friend Mickey Addison says, that if you don't have the courage and the confidence to stand on God's word and proclaim its truth, then at least have the humility, and I'm adding my own words to her phrase, have the humility and the integrity to hide behind it. To hide behind it. We're going to open the phone lines. That is not progress. That is regression. That is regression. We're going to open the phone lines. The number to call is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. If you want to be a part of the program and have a conversation about this, I invite you to do so, especially if you may be, you know, in what is commonly described as the millennial generation. If you want to call, you have some questions, have a conversation about it, I would love to do that with you now. The number again is 888-589-8840. You know, I led the show with the scriptural account of Zacchaeus. And remember, the investment of faith that he had was made evident by his external demonstration of repentance. There is no way you can be a beneficiary of the gospel without repentance. Now listen, I know that sanctification is a progressive work. I know that. But if you have a person who is racked by the conviction for their sin, they wouldn't adopt a moniker for themselves and start, you know, making the talk show circuit to identify themselves as a, you know, fill in the blank, whatever sin, patriotic American, conservative, political pundit. You know, you wouldn't slap a label on yourself. Yes, I am a Christian, a patriotic American, a free market, shrink the government conservative who also happens to be an adulterer. You know, I am a Christian, a patriotic American, a free market, shrink the government conservative who also happens to be a thief. If you are wrestling with the weight of your sin, you wouldn't adapt it as a moniker to start getting book deals. Y'all said, Abe, you're hitting low, Abe. I'm just telling you straight up. That's why we have to make sure our commitment is to Christ, man. I'm telling you, if there's any, remember when Jesus said, here comes Satan, and he has nothing in me, nothing in me. If you have an affinity for anything other than Christ, it will be exposed. I'm telling you, if you believe, if your faith is in our political system, you will find yourself willing to cut corners spiritually in order to accomplish a spirit, accomplish a political victory. I'm telling you, it will happen. That's how you get, should I go there? That's why you get Christians lying on their taxes. Because they have more confidence in the money that they can generate than they do in trusting the Lord. That's how it happens. And I know that people don't intend to flake out on what they profess to be their beliefs, but you know what's in you. Say it this way. You know an orange has orange juice when it's squeezed. Why? Because when you squeeze the orange, the jugo de China is what comes out. That's Spanish for orange juice, by the way. My wife is teaching me. To the phone lines. We go first to Oklahoma, where Lori is on the line. Lori, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Abraham, and thank you so much for allowing me to be on your program. I have so many comments, but I'll try to keep them short, which is out of my nature. But, you know, I heard this video, and I've been really upset ever since I saw it because, you know, whenever you need to deceive someone, you always want to dress up the deception in order to get people to bite into it.
Come on,
and they've
Lori.
Been using propaganda to brainwash our children and brainwash the culture and society for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stop and you think about it, if you put some rotten poison out there in front of somebody, it's likely they're going to pass it up because it's distasteful to them. But if you take someone like this guy who's had the ability to seduce so many people, making them think he's slick or he's wonderful or he's a conservative or all these great things, when in reality he was hiding, deceptively hiding who he was until the right time to drop the bomb. And I'll tell you who else did that very, very successfully was Ellen DeGeneres.
Mm-hmm.
She made the whole world fall in love with her by being a cute and cuddly comedian until she revealed who she really was, and she seduced many people into falling for endorsing this behavior. But what I really love is the fact that you're touching on how we're not addressing what a big deal this is, you know, and we're trying to put it as it's okay as a Christian and to be a conservative. Look, as a believer, if we're not going to participate in an abortion, or we're not going to participate with a thief and become a thief and steal with him, or participate with a liar and lie with him, why in the world would we participate in homosexuality, endorsing it, going to same-sex weddings, acting like it's okay? Because the truth of the matter is, they're never, ever happy with what freedoms they are given. The truth is, they want to take away our freedom to choose and force us into their lifestyle. Just look what happened in Sodom when those angels of the Lord came and the people outside Lot's home demanded them. He offered them something else in return, but it wasn't good enough. They wanted what belonged to God. They want what belongs to God so they can destroy it or make us participate in their vile sin.
I got to jump in, Lori. Thank you very much for your call and your comments. Man, I agree with Lori. I thought you was going to have to get Jason to start tuning up the organ for you, Lori. That's what I thought was about to happen. I thought it was going to be Thank you for your call and your comments. We'll go back to the phone lines. Next, we'll go to Ohio, where Joe is on the line. Joe, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, and great points made by your previous caller, Lori. With everything going on in the news, I just wanted to make sure your listeners were aware, and the conservative hosts like yourself can touch on the point. With everything going on in the news, didn't get much coverage. There are two innocent Americans killed again by a illegal alien who'd been deported twice right here in the Midwest in Indiana. A guy killed a Uber driver and a football player.
Yes.
You know, two innocent American taxpayers, hardworking, both of them. And so just, you know, it's not just the sanctuary cities. You know, it's right here in the Midwest where you've got illegals killing innocent Americans. And with the, you know, I hope that we conservatives can get the word out, and with the immigration votes coming up, it's not just limited to the sanctuary cities and the liberal states. It's, you know, right in the heartland in the Midwest here.
Thank you, Joe. You're right about it. And the illegal alien who was a drunk driver was from Guatemala. And I was going to talk about this perhaps more so tomorrow, but I felt like I needed to focus in on Guy Benson today. But you're right about that. And it is beyond just the sanctuary city areas. It's happening all over the country. So that is an unfortunate occurrence that really should not have happened if we had enforced our immigration law. So that is a sad, sad, sad truth. Let me say this. And as I'm commenting on Guy Benson, let me make sure I make this statement clearly and unequivocally. Because we stand on the word, it doesn't give us license to be belligerent toward people and hateful toward people. Remember, when Paul talks about such were some of you, it is as we were in our sinful state that the gospel got to us. You know, so it is not an invitation to be dismissive or belligerent or obtuse or, you know, hateful towards individuals. What we are identifying is, what I would suggest, is the spirit of the age and the invitations to violate God's scripture. But it is not an invitation to treat people in a sinful way, as the Bible would decry that type of treatment. But we'll go back to the phone lines. Next to Louisiana we go, where William is on the line. William, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you so much for taking the call. My comment is basically for him to be as bold as he is to be, claim he's a Christian, for one, I want to turn the focus on his pastor.
Good question.
Who is teaching him, or who has him completely convinced that as a Christian, being gay is right?
Yeah.
And so that's what immediately I said. So who's this pastor? Who's his ministry? I want him to put his pastor on blast, who his ministry is, because that right there, that mean, if I can hear him, that means there's other people in the ministry who have that same type of belief system, or the pastor is too much of a coward to stand on the word himself. He might lose members.
You're right. You're right, William. Thank you for your call and your comments. Listen, you had Carrie Underwood's church in Tennessee. The pastor said, oh, we're rethinking our stance on human sexuality. So what is there to rethink if you're a church? But that's a good point. Who is his pastor? Who is empowering him, if you will, to make such bold declarations? You know, it assumes that he has one. But if so, what is he being taught? Back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Mississippi, where Randy is on the line. Randy, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Abraham. Thank you for your boldness in presenting issues like this. I'm a stepfather to three children whose blood father is a practicing homosexual, lives with another man. This issue is a constant confusion, a constant argument in our house. I'm actually usually end up looking like the that I'm in the wrong, you know, when we stand up against these things, because here's their father. They have to love their father, you know, they have a lot of problems separating his lifestyle from the man that they love. And this is what our society is turning into. This is the confusion that Satan wants to create in the minds of our youth. And it's working, you know, and it's making our conservative Christians look like backwards fools, just backwards idiots.
Randy, thank you for your call and your comments, and even being willing to invite us into your family life. And the unfortunate reality is this is what happens. This is what happens. It creates havoc and confusion in families' lives. And I can understand how children would be conflicted by this, but you have a great opportunity to convey to the children that you are raising and loving to lay God's standard before them, to communicate to them that it's a sin just like any other sin, and that the way that you continue to love them is that we love them enough to stand on truth but maintain our hearts of compassion.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.